Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Jeremy Patterson of the O'Killing Clan. People be muscle. People be real talk. Midwest muscle. All those muscles. Where do they come from? I don't know. Anyway, this program is sponsored by People Be Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on in a vehicle to drive your goals like what, Desiree?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream, Kellen, or Patterson. Hashtag chocolate way for the win.
Kellen, post-doodle, after your other poodle. Check us out at peoplebemuscle.com. And now, let's chit-chanter with a banter. Hello, Desiree.
Hello. So, are you like a Kalen sickle, or did you survive the cold weather snap earlier this week, or how are you doing?
I've been stuck out in these freezing temps every single day we've had them. It's been somebody either stalled cars, needed to be snowed out, snow plowed or shoveled or something. It's just been something outside, and I was thinking, you know, I'm glad I'm fit. I'm very glad I'm fit. Yikes.
No doubt. And then the crazy part of it is this weekend, or at least in Iowa, or at least in Des Moines, it's supposed to be like a heat wave, like 40 degrees.
Yes. Yes, so we'll be flooded because we basically pass snow on snow.
So Mother Nature is just having her way with us right now. She's like, all right, I'm going to have mercy. The warmth is coming, but for now, y'all are checking.
Grandmother Nature. Grandmother Nature. Not Mother Nature, Grandmother Nature. Because this is the whooping you get because you done absolutely messed everything up, and she got to step in and just whoop your hand part. She's going to beat down. Grandmother Nature.
Oh, my goodness. Well, now that we've all received our due punishment, Let's get on to some fun stuff. So I'm glad to hear, hopefully everyone out there in listener land, you guys are doing all right. We're doing all right on this end, so praise the Lord. And again, praise the Lord for all the resources that have been out there to help folks make it through this really, really terribly cold weather. And we're going to praise the Lord tonight for our guest that we have. And I actually first met our guest last year at John Abraham's Heart of America, where Ernestine Shepherd was last year as well.
Oh, stop.
And this young man had a phenomenal showing. He took home so much hardware that I think he might have needed to rent one of those little baby U-Hauls to take everything home with him. And that particular young man is Daniel Kennedy. And Daniel, say hello to listener land and tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me on the show. A little bit about myself. I've been 4 years now. I did my first show back in 2014, and then I had a knee injury, so I ended up taking a break, and I was able to pick up bodybuilding again this past year, 2018, and just had some tremendous success and just really trying to get back on the wagon here.
All right, that's phenomenal. So you had an injury. Well, we're going to get to the injury, but let's kind of take a step back. And it's been a while since we've done an athlete profile, so very excited to have you on the show. So kind of walk us through how you got introduced to bodybuilding and what made you decide to get on the natty stage?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in bodybuilding, just the ability to create a physique, muscle. It's just been something I've always been passionate about. I originally started, I was in the Quad Cities for a couple of years, and I ran into Ed and Andrea Castillo. They were hosting a bodybuilding competition. Again, it was a Spartan Classic.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's actually where I met Kalen back then.
Yes.
He was helping me out with a few things that I had, and just overall, you're awesome, Kaylin. I really do appreciate that. So yeah, I participated in that competition, you know, did well, and then I got relocated for a different job. So my wife and I and family, we moved over to Ohio, and there, just getting comfortable with the environment. Getting used to different coworkers, we just decided to go to the park and play a game of basketball. I mean, a ball, basketball. This is how I ended up sustaining this injury. I just went up for a rebound, and I came back down, and my knee had shifted over. My kneecap had shifted over, and I wasn't able to walk at that moment.
Oh, my
you know,
God.
I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was going to be as bad as what they told me. I ruptured my patellar tendon, and I had to have surgery. So just a few months being in Ohio, you know, it was kind of a sad year. I don't want to, you know, make this a pity party at all, but yeah, it took a toll on me after the surgery, and then you know, you're limited to the exercises and movement that you can do. I was on crutches for a few months, and my quad, my whole left leg, has really gotten skinny, and
I know that feeling.
You know, so I did the physical therapy up in Ohio for a little bit, and then my wife and I, we have three children. She was pregnant in Ohio, and then just with everything going on with me being injured, we had a baby on the way. We need to get closer to home just so we could have more help. So we came back to Illinois. And at that point, after we had our son, you know, I was just like, I had the urge to go ahead and try to get back on stage again. And I, John Abraham had a show in May. I came across that, and I was interested in that. And I connected with John, and he introduced me to Matt Burdes, and I was curious about what is the category when they wear the board shorts? What is that category?
Oh, physique, men's physique.
Yeah, I guess it is just physique. It is physique. I was inquired him about that just because my quads weren't symmetrical. One was bigger, one was larger or smaller, and you know, after I met with him, and he definitely encouraged me to go back into bodybuilding, and said physique just wasn't wasn't in my area. So during that time, pardon me?
I said it wasn't going to happen.
No, right. No, he said that wasn't going to happen. So that was another direction why I ended up trying out classic physique too, just because I wasn't sure how that was going to help. Well, because I know classic physique, the shorts are a little bit longer than they are in bodybuilding as well. So I was interested in that category. But Matt, he's my coach almost, I guess, going on a year now, but he helped me rebuild the muscle of my quad. I'm still not exactly where I want to be, but it definitely looks so much better than what it was. And then I did the show in May, and I participated in classic physique and bodybuilding, and overall in both categories, which was just really nice because I wasn't sure what to expect at that point in time. And I was able to get my pro card. From there, Matt and I, we sat down, and again, because I hadn't competed in about 2 or 3 years since I hurt my knee, I was still nervous and just wasn't 100% confident in myself about going pro at that time. But, you know, at that point, we're just like, you know, we might as well just go ahead and take the jump. And then I end up, I did a show in June, which would have been in Wisconsin. That was Jack's show. And did that.
Oh, yeah.
Jack's show. And I did a classic physique. That was the only pro category that I participated in. There was only two contestants at that time. I won overall with that. So, again, that was nice. It was all kind of just to get my feet wet in the pro. Again, the experience was just awesome right there. And then I ended up doing 3 shows last year, and the last one I did was at John's show that took place October 20th. Was my first pro, and the stage was full. I believe there were 6 of us, some really seasoned guys there that knew what was going on. So I was nervous. You know, I was really nervous, but I took third place in that show. And, you know, there are definitely some areas of improvement, but overall where I came from and the support that I got from a lot of family and friends, just the journey, it was just awesome looking back on it. And, yeah, just it was great experience.
Well, but, you know, the fact that you're still willing to push yourself past the injury is quite a feat, because I know a lot of people turn to a different road when it comes to that pity party you were talking about. I mean, you basically were in a dark spot because, you know, basically you had to put your life on hold. And that's never a good time. I don't know anyone that's happy with an injury. And they're sure not happy with the rehab and the recovery. So, you know, the fact that you got through it, I had made a post on Facebook earlier, and people were asking me, and I said, you know, if your mind's not right, you know, are you really healthy? You know, because that's part of the aspect of our lives that is overlooked because people can't see it. And because they can't see it, you know, they think that you're, you know, good and fine, and just everything's hunky-dory when everything's basically falling apart in your head because you don't know which way to go as far as forward. Because, you know, I've been through some injuries, and just when you think you're making some headway, there's something that comes up out of the blue, and all of a sudden you're back to square one. So I know Dez wanted to key in on that, the injury part, so I'll let her ask those questions, and then I'll jump in if there's something that I want to ask too.
Yeah, and so... You know, I think you've already touched on a lot of it because, you know, some people will say, oh, I had an injury. But you really started to allude to, like, the emotional aspect of it and that you just really weren't okay. I mean, it took a toll on you. And I mean, not just the injury, but you had so many things going on, a new addition to the family. How did you find that you were able to cope? And, you know, what tools did you use to kind of get over that, the hard parts of it, to get to a more positive place?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a great question. Really, I really got to get back into that mental state. I try to leave there, you know. I don't like being in that in that state where I was hurt. But no, yeah, it was a terrible feeling. I even have videos on my phone when I was still doing some of the rehab exercises, trying to run or do some box jumps. It was really challenging.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you just have to keep pushing yourself, because when I would look back at the first competition that I did in 2014, I'm just thinking, wow, you know, I was a little bit younger, and I was just looking at my quads and just thinking that, you know, that's my body. Like, what happened, and where am I going? And I just had to try to focus on where I wanted to go and set the example, not just for myself, but for my children. I usually take my oldest to our shows. He just turned 7, but when I think about stepping on the stage, I think about him, really. I don't know how to tell everybody this, but that's kind of what it comes down to, is that if I can get through it, I want him to be able to know that he can get through anything that he may go through that may cause chaos or trouble, or if it's an injury, no matter what it is. But to get on the stage and just be confident in yourself and present whatever talent that you possess or that you have in front of the audience, and just let him know that he can do anything that he wants.
Yeah. With the injury, you know, we can go back to that, because I had my share of
injuries after my accident. And I think one of the hardest things is the start and stop, the things that they didn't see in the beginning that basically had to be addressed later down the road. There was a lot of things that, you know, it can really play games with your mind. Because, you know, if you're a person that's used to going all out and giving 100% and now you're being basically told exactly how your day is going to, you know, fold out, come out, and how you're going to have to act and behave, and you still have the same mind, you still have the same understanding of how your body should act, but it's just not reacting in the way that you want it. And I think one of the hardest things for me was when that cast was removed from the different body parts, and to see this shriveled body part, I guess the best way to say it, without really being too hypercritical, and realizing that's me, you know. And you know, I'm glad that I didn't have all those pictures to look back on and say, you know, because I think my family hid every picture that I had. So I couldn't go down that dark wall or tunnel. How did you get through that, and how did you come to the understanding that you didn't have to stay there, that you could get better?
Well, you know, I would say one of the biggest things that it was rough. The biggest thing that I remember that I really couldn't stand was really trying to bathe. Because I couldn't bend my leg, so getting in and out of the bathtub was rough, and it wasn't a position that I wanted to be in. And I know that my wife was just constantly there for me and helping me out, and it was I kind of felt bad for her because of the things that she was doing, you know, constantly getting ice for me, and I didn't want that continue for a long period. So for myself, I knew that I just had to keep getting better. I had to work at it. I listened to motivational videos, and it was just talking to people, interacting with friends that I spoke to from my first competition, and reading books just to try to stay positive and stay motivated on the ultimate goal, you know, that you have in your heart.
Wow. You know, and so I'm struck with a couple of different things here. So first I have to go back to you being at Ed and Andrea Castillo Spartan, because I was there. And actually, that was the first show I covered with Kaylin as part of Midwest Muscle. So again, just small world that you were there.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps circling back around. So it's very exciting to kind of see that progression go through there. And, you know, yeah, you had a little bump. You know, you might have been a little bit further along by now. You might not have. So who knows where that drive would have taken you. But I just find so many parallels, you know, because we've talked with different athletes that have had injuries that have been major setbacks. Some of them were a little more, I don't know, extreme is the right word that I want to use, but it's the word I'm going to use, than maybe yours. I'm reminded of Daniel Strong, who was in a really bad car accident. Lost his wife, lost his leg. But I like the difference between the two experiences, because, you know, we always look for the motivation in like really extreme situations when bad things happen. But sometimes it could be what seems like a minor injury that can really be a huge setback, and it feels the same. It has the same kind of consequences, and people need to understand that even when it's not extreme, sometimes it's just really hard when what seems like the simple things affects your life in a way that you never could have imagined that it would, like a basketball injury. And then here you find yourself that you're relying on family members, your body is different than what it was, and you still find really great ways to cope. I find family seems to be a consistent theme or mechanism that gives motivation, but then you also brought in the part about listening to motivational speakers, staying connected, which I think is very important, not withdrawing from the world, but just trying to stay extra connected and keep moving forward. And I also like the fact that, you know, even though you were only thinking about coming back in the physique category from bodybuilding, your whole point was, I want to come back, even if it is in a category different than what I competed in before. So I think I just find all of that just amazingly motivational. So with that kind of setup and backdrop, I mean, how much more satisfying was that basically, like, when the first show that you came back in from all of this, you had such an outstanding performance?
Yes. Yeah, I was really excited about that. Again, I wasn't sure what the outcome of that was going to be. But I know for me, a lot of times I think ahead. I start thinking about being on the stage, or what if this happens, or what if that happens. I often forget about the journey. Now, the journey is the most important thing. I think we all know that. It's what we do every day to get to our destination. So for me, I just try to really just try to take care of business. I tried to do what Matt told me to do. I listened to his suggestions, his workout, his meal plans. And, you know, I just took that to the heart and knew that if I followed his plan, that I would be successful. He's my coach, and I had to put my trust in him. And that's really the route I went about it. Just day in, day out, again, just the journey. Every day, try to stay positive. Of course, you're going to have those days that are down, but we all have those days. And you have mm-hmm. to find a way to put through it. And I think that's one thing that just really helped me. I was, again, just really thrilled about the outcome on that stage. I know I was able to get my pro card in that. I still think that I'm kind of young with bodybuilding, and I'm just excited to see what's next.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to see what's next, but before we get far, we have some questions from our listeners coming in. This one is from Jacob, and he is asking, how is the Heart of America promoter, and is he as genuine as he seems at the shows when he's on stage?
Oh, he's great, John Abraham. Oh, yes, he was great. I just remember when I first went to the auditorium and I saw all the awards, and it was just immaculate, everything. It was beautiful. And right before the contest began, or the competition began, he played a motivational video. And again, I'm huge on motivational videos, speakers. It's just my go-to. I like to listen mm-hmm. to people who speak truth. And, I mean, that just hit home. And yes, but to answer the question directly, he's genuine, awesome. I'm so glad I was able to participate in his show. Absolutely, yes.
Oh, definitely. And I have to second everything that he has said. John Abraham really cares deeply about his athletes. You know, and there were times, I don't know if there are a lot of people that know this, but there was actually a time where he thought maybe he might retire from promoting, but it was just his love for the athletes and the sport that kept him going. And I'm really upset because he has a fantastic story about how he got started in natural bodybuilding, and the audio failed on the interview. And it is one of the best stories ever. And I know, Daniel, if you remember, he shared that story, part of that story, when he was on stage, just talking about how he was bullied and different things. And that's what got him started. And just, you know, his passion from that just grew and blossomed into, you know, what he's doing these days. So he shared a motivational video, but John's story is also motivational. And though, do you remember mm-hmm. that, Daniel? So
yeah,
it was a good story. And Kaylin, I don't know if you have heard him tell that story, but he tells it in such a way that my heart just sunk when I could watch the video but couldn't hear what he was saying. So Anyway, if you guys ever get a chance to talk to him, ask him about how he got started, because it is a phenomenal story. Okay, next question. Go ahead.
You can't ask me about that and let me respond, because I know a little bit something about that as well.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. That was my bad. Bring it around.
John, his show was very important to me, isn't very important to me, and that's why I just am so frustrated that I can't get down there for the last 2 years, and actually third coming up. It's because I had been to NPC shows before I went to his, and at the time, everyone was telling me that those were natural shows. And I was mortified by the treatment of the athletes, how they were just addressed as people. They were treated more like cattle and animals. And this one was one that Mike Newman had asked me to go visit. And, it would change my mind is what he said. And he said it would really change my mind if I got down to an actual natural show. And so, you know, I said, well, it's closed. You know, I have family that lives down in that area. So I'd go ahead and check it out. And I was thanking God that I did, because it was such a change of pace. It was more real, more family-oriented, and more positive, I guess the best way to say it, where I saw people competing against each other, but they were stepping on stage as friends. It wasn't enemies. It wasn't, you know, backstabbing. It wasn't hiding the tanning. It wasn't, you know, people were helping, the competitors were helping each other tan themselves. That just blew me away, because, you know, this is something from the two previous shows I had seen where it was totally different. And then when John came out and, you know, he had food for the athletes, and he was, you know, making sure that everybody was addressed, and he said there was going to be an after party, and that was all set up for the athletes. And I was thinking, well, where the heck has this been? And why is it, you know, so few and far between? And then when he told me his story, and, you know, and he introduced me to Andy Bosetto, and everything was about the athlete. And this is 180 degrees different from what I've been seeing at the prior show. And I had to ask him, you know me, Dad, I'm going to ask, you know, what's going on? What's the deal? What's the catch? What's the stuff? And he said, you know, he had to go through all that stuff. He had to suffer with being treated like cattle. He had to deal with the enhanced athletes claiming to be natural, but they were the furthest thing from it. And all of these things really set a fire in him to where he wanted the athlete to know you were on a fair playing field, and also you were going to be treated like the human and the hard worker that you did to step on stage, and especially to honor him by being on his stage. He never forgets that. His passion always keeps that flame lit. And I was just blown away that he could be that alive, because promoting a show is not easy. I know people complain and say, you know, they got screwed over. If you want to get screwed over, try getting a deluge of people complaining because they feel they weren't placed where they could, when they're basically being carved deprived and really speaking their mind, what little they can speak, what little food they still have left in them. So, you know, if you really want to see something, try getting an email, reading the emails of the competitor, from the competitor to the promoter after the show is over. It's really something. And the song and dance they have to do to make sure everybody gets on stage, and all the work that goes into it. And year after year, this man finds a smile on his face and still gets out there. So I'm just amazed that he does it. I thank God that he does it. But I'm also very appreciative of the fact that he never lets the worst words take from his best day. And that's a very redeeming quality and very good for his character that he can do those things. And that's what I wanted to add there.
All right. Very well said. Daniel, you have anything you want to add? I don't know how much more you could add, but.
No, I mean.
Throw it in there.
Hit it pretty home right there. I would definitely say, you said his name is Jeff, I believe, is the one that inquired about it. If he's still listening, yes. If you have the opportunity to check out John's show, please go for it. Absolutely.
Yep, you won't be disappointed. And I would have
our
to check out his site. Would you? Say what?
I said our listeners listen for the whole show, so yeah, he's still listening.
Okay.
Very good. And I know that he has already announced his special guest for this year's competition, but I can't quite remember who that is. So check out his there's a Heart of America Facebook page and then also John Abraham's page. If you do enough digging, you might be able to find it. I'll have to try to take a look if I get a chance.
We shared it on that page as well. We shared it.
We did. We did. Yeah, that was quite a while ago because he announced it back in 2018. So I guess we're all going to have to do some digging to find that. But he's, I mean, like I said, he had Ernestine Shepherd. We could do some shoveling, not digging, but shoveling. He had Ernestine Shepherd as his celebrity guest last year, and she did not disappoint.
Please.
I am not trying to rub it in. I'm just stating facts, and she was fantastic. But he's going to have someone equally as impressive this year. So we'll try and take a look for it if we have a chance. But so Kaylin actually talking about his experience with the NPC actually leads nicely into our next question, and this one is from Bethany. So Daniel, coming from Illinois, she's wondering, what was it like trying to pick out a show in Ohio, which is typically considered NPC country, or did your injury get in the way of you actually trying to find a show to compete in?
Correct, yeah. When I was in Ohio, I definitely was not able to even consider or think about competing. About half my time there, I was probably walking around in crutches. It wasn't until we got back into Illinois that I was able to start looking at shows again, when I was able to run to run and go up the stairs.
Wow.
Yeah, you probably never thought you would see the day where you really missed doing cardio. Maybe you did. I'm one of those that's like, I'm not a fan of cardio.
Hey, I teach it. Be nice.
I know you teach it. It's no reflection on the teacher. I'm just saying, cardio is not my favorite. But while we're talking about favorites and we're talking about Daniel, what is your favorite body part to work out?
Wow, you know, I guess really probably my left quad. it's my favorite part because I'm still trying to get it stronger. With some of the exercises, if it's deadlifts or squats, a lot of times in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, am I overcompensating? Am I using my right leg more than my left? But I try to concentrate for leg press. If I'm doing single leg press, I can tell that I really just try to push my left leg or maybe do a few more reps with my left leg just to continue to get it to get it strong. Another area that I definitely have picked up that become one of my favorites is definitely my back. That's something else that I'm really starting to see the changes in that. Again, just being able to develop different areas of your body, I guess that's when it becomes my favorite or one that I may focus on more than the other. But ultimately, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter whatever body part you're working, you're putting in some work and trying to get better.
No doubt. Now, are you finding – real quick here, Kaylin. Are you finding you're having to employ different strategies then in your training other than maybe working that left quad a little more? Are there other strategies you're putting into place to try to help that grow and stay symmetrical at the same time?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. You definitely want to try to be well-rounded for sure. I mean, there's different exercises that you try to implement just to build every area, that you can.
Now, I got to jump in on this one because, there's a lot going on with the recovery and everything that goes on with it, and you still have a part that you're going to work. And I think about with Phil Ricardo Jr. when he was talking about that. He said he was driven to work his weaker body part, and he learned to love it. And that kind of blew me away, because if you look at his body part that he said was his weakest, you would never guess, and that was his legs. And if you see his legs, you're like, well, where? But that was just because he became so focused. It became a driving passion that this would never look like they did again. And he was so overcome with how much work he had to do, they became his favorite body part, because he said he couldn't hate them no more, because that was his weak link.
Yes.
Dad?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I wasn't sure who was coming in next. I guess I dropped the ball on that one. Well, very good. You know, like I warned you, sometimes our statements should be questions, and they're not, and then I'm never quite sure where things are going. But hey, that's part of the beauty of live radio. So you were talking about you still have some goals coming up in the future, things you want to accomplish. What does the next, 12 to 24 months look like for you as far as the natural bodybuilding scene?
Well, right now we're in the off season. Again, that was something that I was, I'm learning, still surprised. When Matt told me that we're going to be taking a year off, I was like, what, the whole year? What can you do within that year? Am I backtracking? But no, his whole theory behind it is, taking a break, allowing your body to rebuild its muscle after being in a deficit for such a long time, and to just try to build up those areas, those weak areas that I just shared with you. And I don't have anything lined up for 2020 yet, but I absolutely would definitely like to be back on the show, or back on the stage, and just be prepared and ready for whatever comes. I got third place in the pro contest that I participated in October. Everybody wants to get back out there and see how far they can go, and that's where I'm at right now. Just training, enjoying the journey.
Enjoying
the journey.
That's a good place
finding
to be.
Finding the love. And I think that's what happens with a lot of people that stay in that caloric deficit, is that it does take its toll on their mind and body, and they weaken both mentally and physically because it's so strenuous. But this one's coming from Trina, and it's kind of a wild kind of question. I would have never thought of it, but it actually makes sense. And she's saying, with all that natural athletes have to do to maintain the muscle, it seems such a bad thing to get so lean that they lose so much muscle in the process because they're not natural athletes. Unnatural athletes, which is true. So would it be better if the natural athletes maintain a higher body fat percentage just so they could compete more often? That's for all of us.
Wow.
Hmm.
Because
Daniel, you're a special guest.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'll let you tackle that one first.
Well, with me, I guess that would be kind of more of a nutrition standpoint when you really dive into that part. But the best way that I could really try to answer that question is, when you're a natural athlete, for me personally, it's not necessarily about just being the biggest one or the muscular one on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I thought I came with an awesome package, but it's also about presence and the poses, how you can deliver everything. So
mm-hmm.
if you're just asking about size, no.
No, it's more like having their I think where she's coming. Well, hold on. She's responding. Hold on. They have their favorites, meaning we have our favorites. This is her. And I would like to see them more than once every 2 to 4 years.
I'm sorry, what's the question?
She's saying, like,
so I think what she's trying, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I guess how I'm interpreting it is, you know, she would like to see, so the fans out there have their favorite athletes, but of course you see a lot of athletes taking longer, especially male bodybuilders, taking longer growth seasons or development seasons so they can continue to fine-tune their package. And so she's saying, you know, since you lose muscle when you're leaning down, doesn't it make more sense just to keep more body fat on your frame so then you don't have to take as long to build the muscle back up? And so that way you won't have to take like whole years off or 2, 3 years, 4 years off to continue to grow to get back on stage, because you didn't lose as much muscle and therefore can add more muscle more quickly if you stay heavier or maintain your body, a little more body fat versus being super lean. Is that her question?
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Again, I think I'm still a little new to probably give her the best answer for that. The only thing that I could really think of to provide a statement is if you're putting on more fat, I'm not sure how that would work at the same time as developing muscle. I just know that when you're putting on lean mass, that really takes a long time. And then when you're ready to prepare for a show and then you want to lean out, to me it seems like you may have to do a lot more cardio to try to burn that fat off. Again, that's not a 100% accurate answer. That's just how I would perceive it to be.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
Kaylin, your thoughts?
I'm looking at a picture. She's using the 1950s, 1940s bodybuilding frames, and you know they're by no means as lean as the athletes that we have today, but they were consistent competitors. And this is before the intro of the steroid era. You know, the Arnold, Sergio Oliveira, and all these fellas. So. Yeah, I get what she's saying, and you can definitely be more consistently competitive, but it would definitely be a change in every natural organization as far as criteria when it comes to, you know, the appearance. You would definitely have more muscle. I think it would have to be basically if the audience of today, if it would still be palatable to them as to whether they'd want to come and watch. This is a good question, especially with the athletes that would like to compete year after year. And God knows we have plenty that do, but it takes a toll on their bodies once they've tried it. I know there's been three or four, I won't mention names because of this, these are conversations I've held with them, and they didn't want that information out. But I know there's three or four athletes that have done that consistent year after year, and because they were winning on a regular basis, it took its toll on their body to where they couldn't step on stage the next year that they really thought, you know, they're going to bring it home, because their bodies had just basically said, all right, enough is enough. And, you know, as much as we'd love to think we can get past that next hurdle, sometimes we do trip going over it. I, as a fan, would love to see year after year competition, but there'd have to be a lot of science involved. And I think we're almost to that point where we don't have to make our bodies suffer to be competitive athletes in the natural bodybuilding industry. And I know they have the supplementation now, but it's going to have to be somebody that's basically beyond dedicated and actually have the time. It'd have to be a heck of a sponsored athlete where everything was addressed. Meals, workouts, sleep, dealing with the job requirements, and all those other things. So we're on the threshold of it,
And Trina, that's a very good question. I mean, it's definitely going to be a paradigm shift if it does happen, because I know that's not normal thinking for the powers that be. It might be too much for the ones we have in the current state, but it is a good avenue to look to, especially when you're talking about the health and overall wellness of the athlete. So, good question. Very good question. And I'll pass it to Des and see what she has to say.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something definitely interesting to watch. I mean, the current trend doesn't support that line of thinking, as Kaylin was saying, but definitely from bodybuilders back in the day, it was about size. I mean, they were lean. Of course, you have to be lean to a degree to be in a bodybuilding competition, but size was the size. But then you also have to keep in mind that the natural body, and that's definitely what we're talking about and working with in this conversation, it just takes longer. And it needs that support. So I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of different dynamics. I think Kaylin has covered it. I think Daniel had some good thoughts there. Health-wise, yeah, if you could carry a little more, you know, body fat and still be competitive, it would be ideal. I mean, you would be able to sustain that look longer than we can now without totally causing all sorts of issues with our health. But, you know, the whole industry would have to take a shift for that to happen.
Yeah. The metabolic damage in some of the athletes is causing 5 and 6 years recovery. And you can't say this is something that's sustainable. Wow.
We never have.
Yeah. Are we talking to a nurse or a doctor? Trina, I want you to send that in, because these are some questions that sound like somebody that knows and is getting a little bit concerned. So just, okay.
Yeah.
CNA.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
and we've never held.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, we've never held a position that being stage ready over long periods of time is sustainable. You can't do it. You can't. Not with, you know, wanting to step away with good health. And again, as Kaylin said, there would have to be a lot of science and a lot of, you know, just tight controls and observation of that athlete to even try and attempt to just do it continually year over year over year. To do several shows in a year, pushing it, but to do multiple shows over multiple years at the bodybuilding level, maybe bikini, you could try and pull that out, but I think that's even stretching it. But anyway, that would be a great topic for a whole nother show, because tonight is Daniel's show.
Yes.
It would. So we might have to revisit that. So, and a little birdie told me, Daniel, that your coach was actually pushing for 2 years off, but you guys compromised in the middle with one. So we'll just throw that out there as a little bit of fodder to kind of tie off this conversation. So yeah. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, and you will see that, you know, more athletes are taking, you know, longer improvement seasons. And I think that's cool too. It's kind of sucky for the fans because we're waiting on pins and needles until they come back. But there are always new athletes doing great things like Daniel that are popping in and out. And so we're never at a lack for great talent, I guess, is what I am trying to say. So, so we know you love that quad. You know, we know you're loving your back. Beyond that, to make sure that you stay a well-rounded individual during your improvement season over the next year, what other activities do you find yourself involved in? You know, maybe it's just family, but whatever that may be, what do you do to keep a balanced lifestyle?
Yeah, right now it's we've adapted to a nice little cycle system. An employee at the gym, and I work out with the members there. So I have my cardio and the team that knows about the background with my bodybuilding, so no surprises there. So that's a nice support team right there. Family, again, is huge in that. I would say the biggest thing that has changed a lot in the household is what we eat. Of course, we have our moments where we might, you know, order that pizza or get some donuts, but nutrition. Yeah, I don't know if I should have said that.
That's Kaylin's kryptonite. That's Kaylin's kryptonite with the donuts.
Yeah, but nutrition, it's been huge.
It's okay, Kaylin. And I'm glad that you've been able to carry over some of your good eating habits and share that with your family. And that's just going to be even more important as your son grows up, you know, and as you and your wife get older and have more kids, that just to already have those habits in place. So good job out of you. Congratulations on your comeback and everything that you have overcome to, you know, set the platform for where you're going in the future. But with that being said, we know you didn't get there all by yourself. Sounds like you've got a great support system and your wife has been there every step of the way. So we would like to give you the opportunity to give shout outs to anyone and everyone who has been there with you along this journey so far.
Oh yeah, you got it. Most definitely my wife for sure. And definitely Matt. Matt has taught me a lot. A lot of things that I didn't even consider before stepping on the stage. But family, definitely family. And again, the members that I work out with in the mornings at the gym, I just appreciate all of them and the encouraging words, everything that we've gone through to help support that.
All right, fantastic. Kaylin, last thought on tonight?
Well, I'm really considering that snickerdoodle donut, but I don't think I have the days that where I could fit that in.
Nope, I don't think so. Not for
no.
Your competition schedule you're pursuing this year.
Yeah.
You might just have to wait a little
bit.
Boy,
I sure would like it. Yeah. Well, there's a teardrop.
Well, you know what? Just keep that snickerdoodle donut as motivation. Tape it up on your mirror so
freezer.
You know that you can have one. And the freezer.
And
so you know that you can have one when you get off stage at your next show. But just one. I know. All right. Well, before Kaylin passes out over there, we're going to go and thank Daniel so much for taking the time out to be in our show tonight and sharing your story. And, you know, just how you have managed things. And I know our listeners were able to take some coping skills away and hopefully apply to their lives if they face some tough challenges out there. And we wish you all the best going forward.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So we'll be looking for you in 2020 unless your coach talks you into 2021. But we'll keep our eye open for you.
Yes.
All right. Have a great night.
A quick question.
All right,
you,
Kaylin. Oh, what's a quick question? What you got?
Yeah, I want to hear about this firstborn changing out of the teens.
I know. Oh, my gosh, you guys. My son, my number one, my oldest child, just turned 20 yesterday. And I really don't know how I feel about that. You know, you get to a point in life where at least I've gotten to a point in my life where I can start to say that I've done something for, you know, 20 years or 20 plus years. And now being a mom is up there, and I don't feel like I'm the mother of a 20-year-old. I really don't. And
right.
So it's just a little surreal. And so he was freaking out a little bit, but I think I'm also freaking out a little bit. But, I mean, it's all good because I'm truly blessed to have my child, you know, for 20 years, and hopefully I've got another, you know, 50 to 80 on top of that, even if I'm no longer here, you know, just wishing him a long and prosperous life. But it is a very weird feeling.
What are you, Klingon?
Well, you now that you want to call me out, I don't know that I'm ready for that taxicab confession, Kalen. Telling everybody my secret. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not.
Maybe
I can neither confirm nor deny that statement.
Yes, ma'am.
So anyway, but yep. And then my my oldest daughter, she has a birthday coming up next month. She's going to be 17.
Wow.
And it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. They need to stop. Just stop. Stop it all.
They grow up so
fast. But anyway, they do grow so fast. They do. They do.
But
they
you
do.
Digress.
So I digress. Life changes. You know, maybe, Kalen, somewhere in the future other than a competition, you might have a special event where dessert is required and snickerdoodle donuts will be on the menu. Something to think about.
My church hates me because every Bible study after meal has donuts and long johns. I was like, you guys don't love me. You don't love me.
They do love you. They just don't realize how real the struggle is.
They don't have a
cute, but that's okay. They will. They will. So with all that being said, guys, Kalen's birthday is coming up in June. All right. Do I have that right? It's June, right?
Yes,
all right.
It is.
So if anybody wants to work out, I know we have some snickerdoodle protein donut recipes floating all around there, either on the P4P Signature Series Facebook page, P4P website, or I believe we may have shared it on Midwest Muscle. So if anybody is feeling like they want to try and perfect that recipe by June and then ship Kalen a couple for his birthday, just kind of keep that in mind.
Just a couple.
Just a couple.
Saying.
Not many. You know, one or
saying.
Two. One or two. So, on behalf of myself, Kalen, the boys from P4P Muscle, and Snickerdoodle Donuts everywhere, your body's a temple, so let's build it.
Which Snickerdoodle?